Okay, looks like we have enough to have a game tonight. So I am calling to order at 6:34 p.m. I'm calling to order this August 14th, 2024 meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining. I two things. First, Ellen, before you call the roll, I want to let everyone know that we're down another person. Karen Briggs has resigned from the LSB. The second thing is that as you call the roll, I'm going to see if I can be proficient enough to share my screen. I want to put up the rules. Put up the rules of conduct that we're going to be committing to this evening.
They completely turned it.
Someone needs to mute.
That's me. I'm trying to. I was wondering. I didn't hear what you said about somebody resigning.
Karen Briggs.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Ellen, you can call the roll.
Irene Adams
Here.
and you said Karen Briggs has resigned.
Yes.
Vanessa
Here.
Myrna.
Present.
Wayne.
Here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I heard you.
Okay.
Michael. Michael. Bill Curtis.
I'm here.
Violetta. Violetta. Wanda. I saw her. Wanda. I'll come back.
Here, I'm here.
Okay. Sue.
I can't.
Sue.
I'm here.
I see her. Robert.
Present.
Donna.
Here.
Kamal. Kamal. Okay, come back. Arthur.
I am here.
Andrew.
Here.
Ambrose. Ambrose. Patrick.
Here.
Tony.
Present.
Mariah.
Present.
Ron.
Here.
I saw him.
Here.
Minerva.
Present.
Adele.
Here.
And Dennis.
I'm here. So is Ron. If you did you get him?
Yeah, I did get Ron. I heard him. He was
Okay.
okay. Ambrose, has he come in yet? Ambrose?
No.
No. Okay. Violetta?
Here.
Okay, I see her. Violetta's here. I think maybe you're muted, Violetta. Okay.
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
I heard you now. Yes.
Okay.
All right. So far we have Ambrose is absent and Michael Bogdan.
Just a second. What? Am I eating too much? Is that what you're asking me?
No, I said, are you on loan?
Yeah. Do you need me for something else?
Is that something? Okay. So far we have Michael Byfield. Has he come in yet?
No.
And Ambrose Lane.
Has come out here?
I'm here.
Now.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry I was unable to share that document on my screen, but as I said, and as we agreed last meeting, we're going to start paying attention to the rules of conduct, which basically mean don't interrupt anybody and don't talk about anybody else. The vice chair, Wayne Bruce, is going to monitor the chat because the chat is also governed by those rules. And Kamal, I'll ask you to help me with keeping time for the meeting. Okay. Moving forward, first item. Mr. Tatum.
Yes, I was wondering if there is some way that I could share the screen for you, if you could send me the document.
Yes, if you all can take a pause for a couple of minutes. Follow me. Hold on just a minute.
No problem.
I just sent no subject line.
Okay.
Okay, first item is the agenda. Are there any objections to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, the agenda for this evening is approved. First, we need to go back and see if there are any objections to the minutes for June, which were not finally approved last month. Any objections there? No, the June minutes are approved. And finally, July minutes. Any objections? Wonderful. Okay, the July minutes, Madam Secretary, are approved also. So now we can turn to our interim general manager's report. Miyuki.
Good evening, everybody. Good to see you.
Good evening.
Just basically overall, our finances, we have a constant stream of income coming in. We can't quantify it yet because the system that we use to tally monies doesn't do so, but we are hopefully moving to one that does. Meanwhile, Jim Byers did a very nice car donation CD and PSA, and we're getting consistently there's an uptick in the car donations, which on a weekly basis anywhere to $1,000 to $2,000, which is huge. Sankofa Books and Videos is doing an event every other Sunday in support of Palestine, and they are collecting money at the end of each evening, and they are submitting monies to us on a regular basis, $200 to $250, which we really, really appreciate. Most of our energy right now is dedicated or focused on the drive. So that's where we are getting most of our money, hope to get most of our money. There were some unscheduled deductions or things that I hadn't expected. Plumbing bill from January, $3,400. I received a call on August 1st. They wanted to send us to collections. And since we're in negotiation trying to get a new lease, I didn't want to have anything like that on our record. I was able to pay half and I negotiated with them and was willing to, they were willing to accept half, and I have to pay the other half next week, which I'll do. And so we don't have to worry about that. Other than that, was an extra expense that was anticipated. Minerva suggested, and I was finally able to talk through with Verizon, and I'll be getting some retroactive pay from them. Which is nice. We were paying for overseas calls for a protracted period of time. They're giving it back to us, and so it'll be over $2,000 we'll get back from that. That should have been in the incoming, sorry. We have a $21,000 Pepco bill, and I mentioned to you before we were reducing our monthly Pepco bills because Mo is turning the signal down on a monthly basis. And the focus of my the bill for me has been whatever has been on that French page. I didn't realize till I received a call from Pepco saying that we still owe $2,100 for back pay from deferred payment arrangement that was made. So the Pepco bill is whatever we get monthly plus pulling down that 21K bill, which we're working on trying to reduce that as well and try to get that down. We have a meeting on Friday with Frenchie, one of the engineers, to review our phone services. We have two Verizon services. We have one Enterprise Verizon and another regular Verizon. We have an enormous amount of phones. We also have ARC telecommunications. So we have three different sources of phone and internet that we are trying to reduce. So Mo tried to do some of it before he left on vacation. Frenchie will hopefully help us to narrow that down so we're not paying so much for phone and internet service. With relocation, we have targeted several different properties. We have one which we are expecting to get a lease from this week or next week. So we're very hopeful that we'll be able to do a move in a timely fashion so that we will not continue paying $17,000 a month at 1990 K Street right now doesn't have any air conditioning. The escalators have not worked for over 3 years. And there's an issue with bugs that are disturbing to the personnel that are in there. So we are making our move to get out of there. Mo has already started and the rest of the staff and myself have taken things to the dump and gotten things shredded and got a lot of electronic equipment out there. So we started clearing that out already. I've been trying to get to the level where I can work with major donors. And some of this stuff, well, the Kilgores, who you may or may not be familiar with, they helped us get that Ellington 125 picture that we use at the 30th anniversary. They're willing to host, and the target date is February 2025 in conjunction with our 48th anniversary. We plan to have a art exhibit fundraiser at the Daughters of the Revolution, place. I think that's what it's called. It's on New Hampshire Avenue. I'm sorry. I think it's Daughters of the Revolution. So that should be coming up. Brooks, who did the 125 Ellington t-shirt, is willing to, and the Kilgores will underwrite making those into pictures, prints. He is 83 years old. He lives in Florida, but the Kilgores will underwrite getting those printed and getting them signed. And they think, because of who he is and his reputation and how beautiful it is, we may be able to get $500 for printed, for signed, posters. So we're working on that. Mr. Lauren Hershey is a major donor from Virginia, and he's really encouraging us to make more of an inroad in Virginia, and he's supporting our effort to a degree. There's a major community event coming up in September, October, and he wants to have a table full of programmers. Craig Williams is taking care of manning those type of things, and we have a great deal of interest from programmers who will be willing to go to Virginia to go to this black tie event. So I'll let you know how that goes. But again, very important to market ourselves and spread ourselves within the community. Tony Browder also has an event coming up, and he's willing to work with us with that as well. The rest of the month has really been about preparation for the drive, which has been foiled in the sense that the last 2 days we were off for a significant amount of time, just about an hour each day. I sent the email to the LSB. I hope that you got to see Mo's explanation of what's going on. But it has been challenging for that reason. And we hoped that we can get reboot and get that going and get a stronger response to what's going to us. So wanted to let you know about that. In preparation for the fall drive, I've spoken to John, the person who's the compliance trainer, And he, I told him that, one, that the LSB members may be on air during the drive, and also some of the LSB members are very strong pitchers and we could use them, cause our next drive will be 3 weeks. And so he said that he will train, whomever we asked, you know, designated LSB members that are willing to pitch or who are going to be on the air. He will train them in that September window. I'll get you an update in terms of the time. Both Satari and Katia submitted their reports, but Katia is pitching. Satari is working on the drive. It's very difficult for us to be here. We have a very hardworking but small staff. So doing the drive work as well as doing this is more of a hardship. So, and I will probably have to leave. I'm going to stay as long as I can, but I have to leave to go back to the station. But neither Satari or Katia will be here. I will try to field their questions, whatever you may have in terms of questions by them, as best possible. Many of you often ask, what is it that you need right now? And today, right now, I need some very strong social marketing support. So I need to get a social network person. It is overwhelming right now for Vinny in terms of handling it all. So if there's anybody who's very skilled at social networking, please come talk to me. Could really, really use your help and your support. And the other thing is grants. If anyone can write grants or knows of a grant or can, if you can help me identify some and we can get people working on them, that would be very much appreciated for grant support and writing and doing those. You all know that we have the Blues Festival coming up. And whatever we can do to sell those tickets, what we've done is, you know, they are being broadcast hourly on the station with Arthur McLeod's wonderful PSA. It is on Eventbrite. Mrs. Turner delivered a bunch. Mrs. Turner and Martha delivered a bunch of flyers to us on Sunday. Dr. Nick Johnson picked them up and got them to Lamont's because Mrs. Turner said that's very important in terms of response. And we also did the e-blast. So we're doing whatever we can to support the event. It's very different now with the new compliance restrictions in terms of how passionate we can be about it on air and how we can talk about it. But we're doing everything we can to move it forward. And thank you all for producing this. And lastly, I could really use help again. I need someone to help with social networks. I need grants help. We need help with the Blues Festival, whatever you can do to get more people there. And we need volunteers. We're trying to increase our brand throughout the community. We've been invited by the DC Jazz Fest to we have a table where we can sit and wear our WPFW t-shirts and just give out the only thing that we have right now, wristbands or schedules and things like that. But just to keep, you know, it's a DC Jazz Fest. We're a Jazz and Justice radio station. We would need a presence, and it is on, August 30th, September 1st. I'll write the dates and send them to, Dennis and Ellen so that you have the exact dates. And it's from 10 to 10 or something, but I'll send those specific things. If you're able to help for a couple hours, I'll also provide Craig Williams's email so that you can contact Craig and let him know, when you are available to work the DC Jazz Fest. And work the DC Jazz Fest is just, again, representing WPFW, representing our LSB, smiling faces, and, passing out magnets or whatever we have to share. I saw Vanessa's hand up. Did it go back down?
No, I was waiting for you to finish before I called on the question.
Okay. I'm finished.
Okay. First, I want to thank you. I want to thank Minerva for the Verizon help. And thank Mr. Tatum for putting the rules up. Okay, Vanessa.
Okay, so three quick questions. Bugs, what kind? What can we do to get rid of them? The signal, not opposing turning it down, because I don't even know, but what are the implications of it? I'm just curious in terms of what that means. Okay, I have one more, but go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll write them down. Bugs.
The bugs, the signal, and the tickets. We used to, each LSB member would take responsibility. We would be responsible for selling X number of tickets. It was easier pre-pandemic in person where Gloria could just literally distribute the tickets. But I don't know if there's a way, if the, you know, if LSP members are willing to do that, you know, to somehow get some tickets in our hands that we would be responsible to either sell or pay for. So just trying to bring up an old idea. That's it.
Thank you very much. I'll start with the last one first. That's a question for Mrs. Turner. She did give me, along with the flyers to Dr. Nick, she also produced, provided some tickets because of the same reason you said, apparently, Lamont's is very good at selling them at Lamont's, before the event. But that's a really good question for her. And that reminds me, I had a call from a listener who would really like to go, to the Blues Festival. And she said, we should have a bus. And I thought that was a really good idea. I said, that's a great idea. I will let Mrs. Turner and everyone know. But for the next one, that might be a really good idea. Whatever the charge of the tickets, an extra $10 or something, and have a bus that would take care of the seniors, or have two buses pick up, you know, one in Maryland, one in D.C., or maybe Virginia. I don't know. But do something like that. I think that would really increase the numbers of people who could participate. And I know that Captain Fly is trying to do a crab feast in Southern Maryland, and that was one of the things he suggested. He had connections with some kind of bus company, so that's really a great idea. I just thought that I would mention you all that you could incorporate. In terms of the signal, we have 50,000 watts, and it goes as far south as Richmond. Sometimes I hear it as far as New Jersey, but mostly like lets off Maryland or Delaware at the Delaware line, and we could go as far as Harper's Ferry and things in West Virginia. Lowering the signal on monthly basis really helped our monthly electric bill, especially through that stretch when it was super hot, because the this is for our Pepco at our transmitter. That's what we're paying for, and we're not paying, we don't have to pay for electric at the 1990, but it significantly lowered it, but without anyone complaining. I think because there's other options like Alexa or sonar or phone or streaming, I think if people just don't get a strong signal, they may just be switching to another vehicle to get the phones. But no one's complaining saying, hey, you sound scratchy, doesn't sound strong. We didn't get any calls or about that. So most continuing to do that in order to try to reduce that Pepco bill. And it seems to be so successful thus far. And Bugs, I don't know. I'm going to buy one of those Zevo. I saw on TV one of those Zevo things that collects bugs or something. And yeah, I'm going to try that. But I don't know specifically, like they're little natty bugs, Vanessa. Yeah, I don't know any more than that. So that was there. And I didn't elaborate on what Mo said. We had a deliberate denial of service attack on the internet this morning. And again, you received this, or it should have been sent to you via the LSB. And we weren't the only station that was apparently affected. This afternoon, ARC Telecommunications was able to buffer up and put more firewalls, and it seems to have addressed the problem, because our signal, even after we were able to get back on air, there seemed to be pockets where the sound would drop. But we were able to address it, and it seems to be okay right now. But they are, again, that's something else that both Mo and Frenchie have on their to-do list when they're together to address.
Okay. Thank you. Wayne Bruce.
Yes. Thanks so much, Mayuki, for your report. I just had one you just answered. Two, I would like to ask, have you ever, in partnering with DC Jazz Fest, have you thought about, or maybe this is a question for the PD, thought about doing a show or doing a live broadcast from there where you can possibly bring over some of the performers and doing your fun drive during that time period, you know? So just want to thank you guys for being transparent, and just a suggestion.
Love your brain. That's a great idea. Obviously nothing that we could pull off this year, but I will see if whatever copyrights or issues that would be associated with doing something like that. I know there's going to be one night this year or one afternoon where they're going to be celebrating Sonny Stitt's 100th year. And there's going to be a panel discussion. There's going to be a band. Davey Yarbrough is going to be performing. So maybe since Katia is involved with that, maybe that is something that's possible. I will put that in her ear. But thank you very much. I think it's a great, very creative idea. Thank you.
Okay. Ellen, you will soon find out. Michael Byfield is in the meeting. He's on the stack. I've got Verna and Michael. And then I want to move on because we still have a couple of other management reports that I'm going to ask Miyuki to comment on. So I want to get all these, get all the questions in as soon as possible. Okay, Verna.
Yes, good evening, Miyuki. Quick question. The denial of service attack that we experience, I'm assuming that is what caused us to be off the air several times in the last day or two. And what is that? Is that an attack from an outside entity, or can you expound on what is that? How did it happen? How is it being addressed? Is it fixed?
I'll explain it exactly as Mo did. And again, it was sent out to everybody, but I'm just reading again from his email. This was a deliberate denial of service attack on the internet this morning. Reportedly, other stations and offices were adversely affected. This is a fact confirmed by our firewall protection equipment. DOS attacks occur when an outside actor, possibly a foreign actor, floods the inbound ports of possibly thousands of IP addresses with extraneous and meaningless data traffic. This holds up or denies legitimate data from getting through. The firewall designed to prevent the attack from getting through, the firewall is designed to prevent the attack from getting through. However, service is denied because there's so much irrelevant data coming in. We have a redundant service on two completely separate circuits in the studio and the transmitter for reliability. They are expensive fiber optic lines that were designed to fight these kind of attacks. Nonetheless, the attack was on a wide variety of services. Know that we have plans to have a different link to the transmitter in the future if our new studio location will allow it. And again, our technical team, which included Mo, Frenchie, our board operators, both Mike and Kalia, John Almeida from Pacifica, as well as even the University of American University engineers, all jumped in and we handled as quickly as we could, and it was taken care of.
Mm-hmm. So that's a temporary fix, and until we actually get with a new network or something, when we move, it could happen again.
Today, as I said, our ARC telecommunications guy put in more additional firewalls.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know, Verna, how long it will last or how effective it will be, but it was attended to as the best of our abilities.
Okay. And one other question briefly. You mentioned, that we were getting a lease by next week in terms of the relocation. So what does that mean? That lease?
We're going to have a relocation report and we'll have a full discussion about that.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Miyuki.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Byfield.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Good evening. My question may really be directed towards the technical team, which wasn't here the last time and the time before that. So this is going to be the third meeting. And my question is, for one, I drive a lot and I listen to the radio a lot when I'm driving, and I don't know how effective or the strategy in terms of low power, in terms of us not reaching people that are outside, because I know when I was in Baltimore, in certain areas, I was not hearing the station as I usually did. So I had to switch to some other station. When you're driving, you can't go online. Does that justify us losing customers, especially going into a fundraiser drive? I understand the power piece in terms of the heat and the energy that's burning. So maybe that's justified that piece. And then with our Verizon, we have a T1, which is 24 channels. And with the way T1 operate. That in itself can be, we don't use 24 phone lines. And I know I submitted a proposal many years ago, for us to actually apply, some of the newer type softwares to fractionalize that. And, so, you know, maybe I need to be speaking to a technical person about that, because what that says to us is we can lower our cost, our phone cost for one. We can also have a much better firewall because it's dedicated. It is our single T1 line. We could actually sell that to people in the building. So, you know, again, I'd really like to speak to a technical person about that, because what I'm hearing spells of incompetence or maybe just laziness. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael. And I appreciate you giving us a heads up in terms of Baltimore. I have not received a lot of that feedback. And again, you know, very sincerely, I answer anytime the 588-0999 calls. I answer every call because sometimes it's hard to understand the people on the voicemail. But we haven't received a lot of that feedback. But I will let Mo know. During the summer, my understanding is sometimes the Pepco bill was be as high as 15 or 20K per month. And this last one was $6,000, down from $9,001 before. So it's a significant savings that we just really need to do right now. So at least till we get through this, we're more stabilized, at least until we're a little stronger. I would love for everyone to hear us, and I hear what you're saying. Everyone may not even have internet to have the option to do Alexa or be online. But for right now, until we can get a little bit stronger, it's a, only either, you know, we, I have to lower cost or bring in more money. And so that was a choice to lower the cost. In terms of the T1, and go ahead.
No, I just wanted to wrap up so we can get to the other reports.
Okay. Sorry, Dennis. In terms of the T1, what I'll do is I'll put a word into, Mo. He's, out of town right now, even though, of course, he was available to help this, yesterday and today. I hear what you're saying. You are much more technically astute than I. Again, Mo is my conduit for that. I have no idea what you're talking about. That's a very much a learning on the job training in terms of this, all these technical things, but I will follow through and try to get back to you. The first time I recall you mentioning this, so I will talk to Mo and try to get back to you or put two of you together.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Now, what I wanted to do is since we got the development, report a little bit earlier, got the program, report, today. And I wanted to know if there's a couple of, points on there that you want to highlight and then see if there's anyone who has any questions from that report that maybe you can answer and maybe you can't. And so the questions may be for naught, but, is there anything on there that you think is, particularly significant to highlight?
Frankly, Dennis, I thought you in the past you usually read them, and then so off the top of my head, I did not take any notes to see if there's anything that I should point out. Other than we are in pledge drive. I know that Satari's report had mostly to do with the preparation and doing the pledge drive, and then Katia was reporting about several new shows that are here starting or just begun, or you know, replacement of some places that were redundancy. So then he asked questions. Either I'll answer them to my best of my ability. Or I can, again, get back to you as well.
All right. Well, I'll go through, especially for the folks who are not on the board here. Let me just go quickly through the list of the new programs. It says we had several slots to fill between the loss of programmers due to family responsibilities, death and illness, and some people switched slots. So there's a program called Barembo, hosted by Roberto Dos Santos. Which replaces the Sunday evening 8 to 10 program by Daniel Bialago. Music Memories, hosted by Alvin Nadab. Sundays 2 to 5 a.m. Replacing
Arthur.
Arthur, is that Sunday? Should that be Mondays?
No, it's Sunday night, Monday morning. You're right.
Oh yeah, Monday morning 2 to 5 a.m. replacing Arthur McLeod. Who's moving to Saturday morning, has moved to Saturday morning. Equal Portions, hosted by Seychelle X. Richardson, replacing Covert Action Bulletin. a program explores the problems of the DMV community faces in relation to food justice, which is an interesting new topic. Expansions, hosted by Vince Brown, Tuesdays 2 to 5 a.m., replacing Miles Willis, who moves into Larry Applebaum's Sunday evening slot. Full Spectrum, hosted by Anthony Rogers Wright, Tuesdays 6 to 7 p.m., replacing Andy Shalal's recent program, a 360-degree analysis of and discussion of domestic and global politics, also featuring the segment Burn Notice, which offers listeners a rare and seldom take on the climate crisis from an unapologetically Black lens. Unionism Drives Community, hosted by Renee Bowser, Thursdays 5 to 6 p.m., replacing Extinction Rebellion. Spirits Free Radio, hosted by DJM, a.k.a. Miguel Garcia, Thursdays 2 to 5 a.m., replacing Ojuba Radio. And New Economic Program, hosted by John Jeter. We're still in discussions about that. And that there's a decision to try to fill one of the HD channels with syndicated pre-recording program material and save until later the trying to populate an HD channel with music because of problems both of copyrights and licensing and collecting all of the necessary volunteers to do that. So as an example, programs will include Covert Action Bulletin, which moved from the main channel, Extinction Rebellion, and Economic Update. Those are all programs that were in the regular grid, and those are going to move to one of the HD channels. Those are the highlights of the report. Minerva, you have a question.
Yes, I do. Thank you for going over that information. I have to ask if someone can identify...
Not saying?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Okay. I need to ask who is upgrading the grid and how many actual open slots are there? We say we have 100 programmers, so where are all of these people? That's two things. And third one is how do individuals who have an interest in presenting their show or their idea, where does that go? Is there a place they can go and register to do that, submit? I mean, that I've been asking for a good time where that information is, because I think that it's key that people be able to see and identify where the grid, where we're needing to place people. And just, I mean, it's only right. It's the community that you're saying this is for. And a lot of the things I heard just now are not local programming. Those individuals who support this station, and we've said this on numerous occasions, that if you're supporting people from Baltimore or listening to the station, why are they not hearing some of their programmers or people that can talk about Baltimore and other areas? So that's number one. Definitely number one is how do people go about applying to see about getting their shows on the air? And is the review done by one person or is there a group that's looking at this information? Thank you.
Thank you, Minerva. I just know, just looking quickly over these most recent changes, they are local. Equal Portions, for example, is a young woman. She's 26, I believe. She's very young, which is really very, very positive for us because we need to recruit younger members. Equal Portions, social justice through food. She's only had two broadcasts. I've heard them both and they're stunning. And they have to do with, what it says. You know, she talks about neighborhoods and where, yeah, you have to go listen to it. It's just a really good show. And she's young and she does that. Beer and Baum is a show of Brazilian music. And I think that's international appeal. He's very good. He's actually from Sao Paulo. He's a real, he's actually a real Brazilian. And we used to have, Judy C. King and other people doing those shows. But overall, so I'm just saying I disagree in terms of that they don't serve our community. I think that they do. in terms of what is the approach? How do people get? I'm not sure what Katia's process is, but as she, as program director, I think has full ability to review and decide which shows would come in or be considered to be on air. I think similarly, when there was the interim program director, there were places that she felt that that needed help, and she put shows in as well. I think that's just the purview of the program director. I understand that some things, you know, are not a necessarily a group activity. She gets submissions, I believe, from email that, I'm not sure. I'd have to ask her exactly what her process is, but I just know that, I think that some of these shows at least are sensitive to our area and what we do. I know that, as I mentioned, there's a major donor who would like us to do more work in Virginia. So we have spoken, Katia and I have spoken about the fact that about expanding to Baltimore, about Annapolis, about Virginia, and doing more things. And I've spoken to Robin about that as well, talking about the fact that we need to have some of these smaller activities that we're doing, the little fundraisers that we're doing in these other places, because so we can expand our reach. And see, in terms of who are these people? Yeah, they're people. I don't know who she comes across. Or I imagine they submit things. I don't know. I should find out instead of struggling with that. I'll find out, Minerva, and I will let you know.
Thank you. That's real key. And the last part of this is that how many stations, how many programs are on that are strictly more focused on DC as opposed to Howard County, Prince George's County. And that's the kind of data that I would like to see. But there has to be a book somewhere that tells how these people put their request in for a show. But thank you for doing your best to try to answer the question.
In fact, it doesn't have to be, but that sounds like a suggestion that there should be. But it also sounds like there may not be.
Oh, and I yes. Right. I'm sorry, Dawn. I'm sorry, Dennis.
Go ahead.
One of the discussions were in terms of, I know that, and I'm sorry, I have, one of the discussions were about, you know, doing something called the beat, in which they would look, at, I don't want to misquote, but there's something about, you know, focusing on different areas within our, within the DMV on a weekly basis. That is in discussion right now.
Good. Thank you. Vanessa.
Sorry, I was trying to, trying to unmute. So I did, have some communications, with the PD, in years past when she made a programming change, that I questioned. And, she went into chapter and verse via email explaining to me, you know, somewhat the process for making those changes, which is, which included, the GM in that process. So no, Miyuki's still new and her, interim position is GM. I think it should also be considered we have the highest rating in the network, higher than all of the other stations combined. So somebody, i.e. the PD, is doing something right. And when there was an interim PD, and changes were made, there were no questions asked. So I think, I have not heard the new programs yet. I look forward to hearing them. And when the PD changed the program I was very fond of and replaced it with a new program, when I took the time and I listened to the new program, I actually like it better than the program that it replaced.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I just say thank you very much, Vanessa? And I appreciate her reiterating the fact that we're the only Pacifica station that actually ranks in the top 20 of any of the Nielsen ratings. So that has to do to a lot of work that has been done. So thank you, Vanessa.
Okay. Kamau, I want to stick with the 90-second standard on questions and comments from the board. For the first go round. Okay, Sue.
Hi, I just want to reiterate what Miyuki said, Katia has spoken with the news department about incorporating into Monday Morning QB much more local coverage and the establishment of possibly a weekly or biweekly segment called The Beat. But we're also going to look harder at our hourly newscast coverage. So we are acting on that. And I also did want to alert folks that we are starting now to get our election night coverage organized. And we will be meeting next week. We've got a lot of history that we can kind of, we're looking at what we did 4 years ago and even 4 years ago before that. But we are moving now so that we are on top of election night, and we will keep you abreast of that.
Thank you, Sue.
Tony.
Yeah, so I haven't seen the Nielsen's lately, and Nielsen's, I understand that the station stopped subscribing to it, but I would like to see those numbers, because we tried to implement years ago a system for how to measure how viable each program is, instead of depending on people that we know in the community to tell us they like or dislike a program. So I think it would be better to implement, some system, some scientific way of measuring, whether a program is doing well, whether it's time to remove it. It seems more business-like to do it that way. And also, there is a document out here, a draft at least.
30 seconds.
For program implementation, program evaluation, and program removal. That was created in the programming committee a while ago. I think Vanessa was on that committee with us at that time. But, that's available. I think I have it somewhere if anybody wants to see it. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. And the Nielsen's, I would love to get the Nielsen's again. I think we owe them $7,000 maybe from 6 or 7 years ago. We were able to get them, the ones that we have more recent, the most recent ones I believe that we received were around COVID or just before COVID. If I can find those, I'll forward them to you. And the reason why we have those is because Mo at one point had a contact who was willing to share, which he wasn't supposed to do. It's supposed to be a secret, which is why we can't, I'll just give them to you or something. But we just can't afford them at this point because they're very expensive to have Nielsen's. And we have other matrices in that, fund drives. And the other thing is that Katia has to walk the tightrope of not only doing shows that are that will make money, but shows that are important to serve our community that may not be moneymakers, but that are information that our population needs and can use. And so that has something, there's all kinds of different things I think that goes into the final decision of who actually, has a show on air and what they're able to do. So it's not just the Nielsen. It's just not how well they do during fund drives. It's not just, any other one thing, but it's an art of trying to create that. And again, it's been successful enough to, again, we're the youngest of all the five stations and we have the most traction because of what she's done.
Good. Thank you. I do not have the development report pulled up. Do you know any of the significant information from that one, Miyuki?
Satari is about drive. I think this last couple of weeks has been for the drive. And let me see, I have it.
Yeah, I imagine that was the
focus. Basically, yeah, she said, again, unfortunately, we're currently behind for the drive and ask people to please pledge. We're going to send the pledge reminders out. Usually we're so depleted that we don't send them out until after the drive is over, but she's already started sending them out this week for whatever the Bill Me costs have been, Bill Me pledges have been. She reiterates the tickets for the Blues Festival are on Eventbrite. We ask that you share the link and that you do it. The relocation Ellington, 125, yielded, on air, the t-shirt only, got us about $3,000 in pledges, but that's okay because that was still a lot. And, and I just to remind you all that, I sent an email saying that if you all are interested in getting the Ellington 125 t-shirts that we charge for $125 in celebration at Ellington, they'll be available to LSB members and programmers, till I think the date was the 20th or something, but the point being that you can get it for, it depends on how many people say they want it, but there's a range that custom make charges either from 30 or, $29 to $33. So you just have to get that information to Vinny, by the due date, and you can, put in for the shirt. You'll have to pay for it before, and you have to pick it up from the station so we can save costs as opposed to sending everyone, but that's available to everybody. And tote, Vanessa.
Okay. Thanks. Any questions on development? Obviously Sitaria is doing drive right now. Okay. Well, the segue will be to the finance committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miyuki. And if you can stick around at least till we get through, finance and relocation, that would be helpful.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mr. Harris.
Okay. Good evening.
Good evening.
The finance committee met on our scheduled date, which is on Mondays, before the LSB. So we met on Monday, August 12th at 7 p.m. via Zoom. Present at that meeting, myself, the Boo Hakeem, Tony Leon, Eileen Rosin, Dennis Williams. Our agenda that day was a call to order. We had our roll call, approval of our agenda. And I do apologize. We started that meeting without a draft agenda, but our agenda ended up being a discussion around Eventbrite and some of the decisions about purchasing tickets during events for the station. We also discussed the current payables for the station. And we also discussed the budget for about a half hour. We went over some more of the expense lines to try to prepare for our FY25 budget. The question on the floor from our member was, why did management move away from using the website hosted by the station to secure tickets for events, i.e. for the like the Blues Festival? So that question was put to management, and I believe they'll give us a reply as soon as possible. What else came out of that discussion was a idea, again, by our member Tony Leon, to capture these folks who want to purchase tickets in a way that a $25, which is the kind of minimum to be a member, to where we could incorporate the cost of the tickets, or at least identify to people, hey, the cost of the ticket is X. If you add another $25, you can then become a member of the station. And so we thought that was a pretty good idea. Also, I'm going to approach management for something like that as well in the future. One of the things I did find out was around the fair market value of a ticket. And it's a little more complex. It has to do with tax write-offs, but what we're trying to do is really secure those who are interested in going to events to try and fold them into a membership status. We also talked about what was outstanding for the station, and I will give you some of the hits. Right now, currently, in our Truist operating account, we have $45,812. Also in the Bank of America account, the Bank of America account managed by the Pacifica National Office has $11,760 in it. Total cash position today is $57,572. Some of the major payments made, okay, these are payments made during the month of July. The tower rent over at American University, $10,000 paid to that vendor. Pepco, $9,043 paid. ARC Telephone, $1,453 paid. Verizon Telephone, $4,241 paid. Healthcare for the staff, $16,000. Payroll for the month of July totaled $45,010. And Telerep, during the month, the payout was $5,744. Some of the outstanding payables for the station right now, the July and August rent to the for the suite at 1990 K Street, the outstanding rent right now is $33,769. There's an estimated outstanding tower rent at American University of $10,000. Currently working with American University, the management is they had a riff. Long story short, they had a riff, reduction in force. They've not been able to really kind of manage some of their accounts receivable. So we're waiting to get, management is anyway waiting to receive back some information regarding exactly what the balance due to American is. So more to come on that. As Miyuki mentioned, there's a Pepco bill for August that just came in at $21,000. And approximately 3 months of healthcare still outstanding at about $30,000. So I'll pause right there if anyone has any questions. And I do have a response to, I believe it's Joyce. Yeah.
Don't see any hands. There's one. There's two. Okay, Tony.
Yeah, I was wondering if we can get a response from Miyuki about the online, the station's online method for purchasing tickets that used to happen in the past, changing over to Eventbrite.
Yeah, Tony, I appreciate you asking. We're trying to consolidate, put everything in Eventbrite. We have a staff basically of one that handles all of that stuff. Mm. And what Eventbrite, it consolidates all the information in one space for us. It's, Sataria, you know, she's not here today because she's working on the drive. Working on the drive isn't always just pitching on air. She's the one who gets the money in and she has to respond to all the questions that come up from Telerep. She's the one who also has to respond to all the emails that come in to ask people about their past, pledges or their past payments or they want, I had two people call this week, who had to stop their credit card or change a credit card. She has to do all that work. There's a workforce of one. And so Eventbrite takes out some of the work. All the Blues Festival information is collected in one space. All of it's there. We collect emails that we can later, you know, court people for membership or whatever else. But it's just for the extra $3 or $4 that's paid, it just takes away some of the work. And it keeps everything right there for us. It has to do with a lack of workforce and has to do with consolidation and trying to be accurate and consistent.
Thank you.
Yes. My question is for Kamal. I believe you said that the healthcare cost was $16,000. Is that per annum?
You're muted, Kamal.
Well, is he?
He's trying to connect to audio. It says.
Yeah. Well, can I ask another question? It's from before.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ask
It's from before though. I was looking at the guide that was sent to us and it says, that the program committee collaborates with the program director in programming. And I didn't see anything, it on the agenda for the program committee. So I'm wondering if that's happening, because it seems some people were concerned about programming.
The program committee was not on the agenda because we did not receive a report.
I see.
Dennis in the chat, Kamal says you have to let him in.
Oh, he's not in the wedding room.
That's what it says in chat.
Yeah, no, I believe that's what he says, and I believe that's where he believes he is. If he was there, I would see him.
Is there a phone number by chance that you see?
Dennis?
Oh, yeah. No, there's nobody in the waiting room. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, when I've hosted Zoom meetings, that happens to me sometimes, and the person just needs to go back out and come back in. I've had it happen too.
Okay. Try that, Kamau. Try going out and coming back in, because you're not showing up on the in the waiting room.
How about now?
Okay, I got you. Got you.
All right.
Okay, $16,000.
Yeah, so did you hear the question, Kamal?
Yeah, I heard the question. I wasn't able to answer. Yeah, the $16,000 is an amount that was actually cash out the door in the month of July. The actual healthcare cost is a cost that is a bi-weekly semi-monthly cost, so twice a month. The payroll is run, and those who participate in the healthcare for the station, that amount is also accrued and should be paid, obviously, at the time of the payroll. It has not been. That goes for us. We're covered under that plan, along with a few other of the stations and the national office. So what you're looking at is essentially, a cash flow issue. Where about $30,000 is still outstanding in terms of what's due. So the annual cost, I don't know. I think I heard you ask about the annual cost. Mm-hmm. I don't know that offhand.
Okay, so that $16,000 is twice a month. Twice a month you pay $16,000. No.
Yeah. No. Go ahead and answer Miyuki if you could.
Yeah, what Kamau is explaining is that when I started in April, because we didn't have that many funds, the national office took care of all of our, of the medical, of those charges. Then, June, they said, oh, you owe $46,000 for the past months. I paid a portion of that. And so now our monthly medical cost is $9,000, but closer to $10,000. It was $13,000 a month. It's down to about $10,000 a month. And so we are chipping away at the same with the Pepco bill. We're chipping away from deferred things that we hadn't paid before and trying to keep up what we owe now.
So that's just really the premium for health insurance. Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we've got a question from Minerva, and then you can continue the report.
Yeah, I'll finish up. Yep.
Okay, and I want to go back to this Eventbrite piece. This information that's being captured by Eventbrite, is that information coming to the station only? And for any activities that we've had at Eventbrite, is all of that information, the email, so on and so forth, coming to the station? Because I'm looking at the PII and other information, and is there a way when we're starting to do these tickets and things that there may be a place that you can identify the people and ask them whether or not they want to receive information from Eventbrite when they're signing on, making their paying for their tickets or whatever? Has that ever been thought about? Because again, if this is being done under the station's name for the station, that data should belong to WPFWs. It should not be out with, even if, Kamal, you had to use your Eventbrite, to cover the station for an activity, all of that data should come back to the station. Has that been thought about, talked about? And I mean that email information. And if not, I think it should be looked into. Thank you.
Thank you for the suggestion, Minerva. I think that's a great idea.
Come on.
All right. I'm going to go a little off script. I that really completes the kind of standard report I had for you all for the month. Would you mind giving me the ability to share the screen real quick so I can
try to
share? Someone in the chat was concerned about financial. Okay, was concerned about financial reporting. The general ledger for Pacifica resides at the national office. There are no double entry bookkeeping entries completed at the station locally. Information is obtained by the national office through interaction with the staff and management of the station, and also through access of the bank statement for both accounts. That activity is then collated and put together in financial statements. This is the most recent financial statement we have for our station specifically. It goes through the month of March, so that's quarters one and two of this current year. And if you, as you can see, it gives you also the prior year amounts in revenue. So we're down a little in revenue. Our total operating expenses were up versus the same time last year. We've also got a change here in our net income and loss. So right now we're at a loss through March at $144,000, whereas prior year we had an income of almost $9,000, $8,736. So this is the reporting that we are in receipt of. The timing of which I completely agree with you, Joyce, is not timely enough. That should be coming to us on a monthly basis, but we literally at the National Finance Committee discuss this all the time. The pushback from our national office, and I completely respect this, is that there's one person there, and that one person is not able to manage and produce this amount of documentation for the entire network in a timely manner. What also I'd like to address the fact that there was no concern or any motions raised by this body. In fact, we've had several motions. I'll pull up a few of them that we've submitted to the national office and to the PNB requesting information. All right, so these go back, over different periods of time. This is a recent one where we've asked we're asking for the corporate records for the PNB to our delegates to review the corporate records that are housed by the station. So this went and was voted on, and this motion passed without anybody really without any naysayers. This also is a motion that we sent through requiring written, I think you also mentioned that, requiring written financial reporting from station management. So this goes back, over several months. We also sent a motion to the Finance Committee was requesting from the Pacifica National Office specifically the general ledger account details of the actual transactions processed during fiscal years 2022-2023, inclusive but not limited to, and you can see the list. So, I'm not saying this to, anything else other than this body is very concerned about the finances. And that's one of the things that we're very much dialed into. So, yes, is it incomplete? Absolutely. Are we working on it? Absolutely. All right. So that's our report for the Finance Committee. I'll take any other questions.
Okay. I'm going to recognize Mr. Byfield, and then I want to move into relocation. Go ahead, Michael.
Accounts receivable. Yeah.
Okay, you got you. You were muted. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to know what our accounts receivables were.
What was that?
What's our accounts receivables? Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
I heard you. So, I've asked this several times as well. The national office does not maintain an AR or a balance sheet. So if you need that information, you have to talk to the national office. That is not something that's maintained at the local level. Now, if you want to know how many bills were sent out in order to get the bill me's, that's a different matter. I think Satiria should be able to handle that. But if you're looking for what I believe, I think you're asking, which is a traditional AR balance, from a balance sheet perspective, we do not maintain that.
Okay. Because we were carrying from the first quarter into the second quarter, about an average $300,000. Accounts receivables. I'm quite sure, you know, there's going to be a number close to that, you know, more or less.
I think you're saying what are the accounts payable? Maybe I think that's what you're referring to. No problem. Yeah. If you go back several months, there was, prior to the changeover in management, there was a list of outstanding payables that the admin assistant did maintain. Right now, currently, what I read off earlier is the current outstanding payables, the total of which is about $94,000, but that's only third-party vendors. It does not include the largest bulk of our accounts payable, which is the payments to the national office and the radio archives. I think that's what you're alluding to. That then balloons and pushes the AR up above and close to that $300,000. We're talking probably 12, 15, maybe even 18 months at this point of outstanding intercompany transfers that need to be made to satisfy the national office and the radio archives.
Okay, thank you.
But that's under discussion. So more to come on that. I was at a National Finance Committee meeting last night. We're still going over the actual methodology in which that those intercompany transfers are calculated. So all of that is still up in play.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you.
No problem.
Irene, I see your hand, but I already said we are over time on this segment. I'm going to relocation now. All right, come on.
All right, relocation. Get to my doc. Hold on 1 second. All right, hopefully everybody received this. I do apologize for it being a little bit tardy earlier this afternoon. The relocation committee, last met on last Wednesday, August 7th, at 7:30 PM via Zoom. Right now the, relocation committee is myself as the chair, Adele Stan, Verna Avery Brown, Ronald Pinchback, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Wayne Bruce, Robert Gordon, Dennis Williams, Miyuki Williams, Mo Thomas, and Stephanie Wells. At our August meeting, our last August meeting, our committee members determined that a summary of the progress made to date should be submitted to the LSB. I'll read that summary quickly. The relocation committee met Wednesday, August 7th, 7:30. All 10 members attended. Previously, the Canal Group is our exclusive broker, and vetted a list of properties developed by the committee and produced 4 recommended properties, including one chosen by them. The committee committee had asked the brokers to obtain non-binding letters of intent, LOI, for these four properties, all of which by the time of the meeting had been cleared for operation by the chief engineer. One property in Tacoma Park declined to provide the LOI because of concerns over Pacifica's financial profile. One property in Northwest Washington was determined by the committee to be inappropriate because of the time it would take for a build-out. One property in Silver Spring remains under consideration. The committee asked the broker to request an updated LOI and provide financial information to the landlord. Fourth property in Northwest Washington produced robust discussion and was strongly endorsed by the chief engineer and the interim general manager. The committee agreed to have the Pacifica management sign off on the LOI, and we will meet tomorrow, August 15th, to determine next steps. Determine whether to direct the broker to ask for a lease. In conclusion, the committee will meet again Thursday, tomorrow, August 15th, 6 p.m. via Zoom. That is posted on the AFPTX calendar. And then our next meetings after that will be August 21st, 28th, and September 4th, all at 7:30 p.m. That's where the committee stands right now, and I'll take any questions.
Okay, Irene.
Thank you, Kumail. I have sort of two questions. One is, how do you...